Hey, this is Sarah on Vocalo.org 89.5 FM. I'm going around and around in a revolving door to bring you this story from Dina Razor with truthout.org. She writes the Solutions Making Government Work column. Recently, she's been writing about the revolving door between the Department of Defense and defense contractors. Here's what she has to say.
It used to be considered shameful for retired generals to go work for defense companies. They were sort of shunned by their peers as selling out. It was considered dirty. Some of the most famous generals in World War II did not go work for defense companies. Instead, one of them went to work for Owens Corning Fiberglass, one went to be the president of Red Cross, and that kind of thing. You were considered an outcast in the generals if you went to work for a defense contractor after World War II. That's so totally changed now that everyone thinks it's kind of a given.
Where's the cultural shift in terms of that code of honor?
Well, it happened from the Korean War on, when we started to build what they call the military-industrial complex, which Eisenhower, a retired general, warned about the corruption of it. And he did that because he was part of those World War II generals and saw this as a dishonorable thing. As the military-industrial complex got bigger and bigger, it became just routine. Probably a couple of guys did it, got shunned, and everyone said, well, that's not so bad. The military-industrial complex just really got started after World War II. Eisenhower, in his farewell speech, talking about the military-industrial complex, that was sort of like the last general out the door who could warn about it.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
These generals make decisions about weapons and supplies and logistics and everything else, and especially since we're getting contractors more and more in the battlefield. These guys make life and death decisions while they're in the Department of Defense. These guys, they'll tell you over and over again, they always tell you, I only want the best for the boys, and this is a higher calling, and we're part of the military brotherhood. And, okay, fine, that's great. But if you decide to go work for a defense company, you will have to then be defending that defense company against scrutiny of the DOD. So you no longer are part of that higher calling. You have an inherent conflict of interest. The KBR supplies the logistics for the war in Iraq, and they have since the beginning. And their contract has been running all these years and is now over $40 billion. And that's basically for slinging hash, doing laundry, driving trucks, and building barracks. I don't call them part of the military-industrial complex. I call them the war service industry. It describes them a lot better because they have to have a war and they service that war. When I was researching my book on this subject, many of the soldiers told me that the generals were either afraid of KBR because of their political clout, but mostly they wanted to go work for KBR when they retired. One of my sources had four commanding officers on a specific base, and three of the generals actually went to work for KBR or had a relative working for KBR. And then one of the generals said, I'm not going to buck them because I want another star. He just told him straight out. So KBR in Iraq became known as kinfolk brothers and relatives. And that's some of the kind of thing that's been going on for years and years and years. The revolving door is just sort of laughed at. I mean, no one thinks there's anything wrong with it. They're supposed to be keeping lists. They're supposed to be enforcing it. No one. It's so bad that no one does anything about it. KBR was not getting paid regularly by the federal government because they were doing such a bad job and their accounting was so bad that the Defense Contract Audit Agency said, we want to hold back 10%. And so KBR started spending more and more money. And in peacetime, defense contractors allowed to stop work if they don't get paid in a timely manner. So you had this dilemma of KBR putting in all these bills for taking care of the troops in a war zone, and the government trying to hold back those bills a little bit, saying, wait, we got to take a closer look at this. And what happened is that on many bases around Iraq, the head KBR guy of the base would go up to the head general and say, unless you call Washington and get me paid, my boys aren't coming out of the trailer to feed your boys tomorrow. So basically, this was a work stoppage in the middle of a battle zone. This was going on when Iraq was a very dangerous place and these bases were constantly shelled. And the generals, one general that was described to me, it, you know, blustered and swore and everything else, but he did it. And these generals, what amazed me is during this process, all these years, these generals allowed themselves to be blackmailed by this company over and over again. And I often wonder what General Patton would have done. If anyone's seen the movie of Patton, you know that if some contractor came up and said, you know, I'm not coming out, my boys aren't coming out of the trailer to feed your troops, you know, he'd pull a gun out, stick it up the guy's nose, and say, if you want your nose tomorrow, get them out here.
Shut up! I won't have sons of bitches stinking up this place of honor!
But I've come up with a rather dramatic solution for this. These people, these generals, are very proud of the fact they're generals, and they have very lucrative retirement. And they're used to having, you know, the going to the officers' club, even as a retired general, sitting around, still being part of the military. It's supposed to be a higher calling, and they feel very strongly about that. If these generals want to go and take a job for with a contractor when they retire, they have to give up the status of being a general. In other words, if they decide to go work for a defense contractor when they retire, they end up not resigning their commission, then they're no longer a general, and they have to give up their retirement pay.
Do you think any of them will do that?
No, see, that's the great part of it. I don't think they will.
So then is it a realistic solution?
I think it is a realistic solution because when you go into the military, you take an oath. And you become sort of a special person. You take the oath that you were going to be under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And that means you've given up some constitutional rights. You just can't quit. You can't, you know, stop, whatever. And so it's a very special designation. And we require every single person in the military to do this. And so when you retire, if you decide to go work for a defense contractor, which puts you in conflict with that oath, because these contracts, you know, you're going to be in an should be in an adversarial role with the DOD to make sure the DOD is getting their money. You have to give that up. You can't be taking from the federal government and then making decisions that can go against the federal government.
Thanks to Dina Razor and truthout.org. For more from Dina and Truthout, check out the links at vocalo.org/truthout.